Good evening. Thank you. Thank the Lord for allowing me to be here. I enjoy coming up here, very much so. I'll try to stay behind the microphone at the East Local. We have the Craig's going, please. Hardest part's always starting out, right? It is for me. That brings me to my starting point. You know, when I first became a preacher, when I was first called to preach, Brother Sheldon called Kevin and I at the same time. I sat here at that reunion in 2005 and I froze that day, and I couldn't understand why. I was so cold, and everybody around me was fanning themselves, and I'd been praying and fasting that there would be callings that day, you know? I had a taste of the Holy Spirit, and that taste was when our brother Gerald Cox was called by Frank Fan. And that spirit went through me. And I stood up afterwards and I said, I have to be baptized. And after that, it seemed like I hungered so much for that spirit again. And who would know that spirit that was resting on me that day, that was chilling me through and through, was preparing me for that calling that day. And you know, throughout the years, I've preached quite a few times, not as much as our brothers, but I've never felt like I did it the right way. And I always felt like I needed to prove myself when I got up behind the pulpit. And so the years have gone by, and I've changed some things about how I go about my sermons and whatnot. The last time I preached at the East Local, it had happened once before. I had a brother come to me afterwards, and he said, "You have nothing to apologize for." And so this last time I preached, I really don't even understand or know when I do it, but I had three of my fellow brothers come to me and almost scold me and tell me that I had nothing to apologize for. And I thought to myself, well, but maybe I do because of the feelings of inadequacy. Because of the way I feel inside when I've been called to preach the word of God, I don't feel worthy. And a lot of times the spirit brings about a lot of emotions. And I think I wind up apologizing for those emotions and whatnot. But I'm not Sean, I'm not Jim, I'm not Randy, I'm not Glenn, I'm not... These guys may preach with a boldness that I don't have. Well, you know, last weekend was a glorious weekend at the East Local. David Rudd called on me and asked me to help him with the sacrament service. And I already knew that there was a baptism, you know. Young James McGee was going to be baptized. But when I went there last weekend, Libby was still with the Kimball, so for some unknown reason, I arrived at the East Local 45 minutes before everyone else instead of 15 minutes before everyone. I like to get there early because I go downstairs, I set things up, I get the sound equipment going. You know, I don't want anybody to come in and have to do anything. That's my gift to my congregation. And then I greet them at the door. But I came in last weekend and I knelt in prayer. It was sacrament and we were having a baptism. And I knelt in prayer. And it was wonderful. Because immediately the Spirit was there. And truthfully, the Spirit had been with me when I was having my breakfast. And I just didn't quite put it together. But then I got there and I was in prayer again. And I had this thought. Wow, you know, our friend, Miss Case, Debbie Case. You know, I understand they've been working on baptism with her and talking to her about it. I said, that would be kind of funny. I'm thinking, you know, that would be kind of funny if she stood up and said, don't, you know, I want to be baptized next. Because it wasn't announced. No one knew about it, but Andy comes in his baptism clothes. Guess who was baptized last weekend? Guess how glorious of a service we had last weekend. It was wonderful how the Spirit was there. It was awesome. And a lot of times, I forget to do one thing. Psalms chapter 7. We're not going anywhere else but here tonight. I won't keep you guys here too long. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. As slothful, as lazy, as ignorant as I can be, he's so glorious and so filled with mercy. And the only time I have ever found in my life when his mercy has not been right here in front of me is when I have my eyes closed, when I have my back turned. Because his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Psalms 107. Which one of you here today can say that you were not lost and found? Many of you have grown up in the church, right? I stand before you to say, I wasn't. I was not a child of this church. I was a child of the world. And that statement about they wandered in the wilderness and in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. To this day, I feel like an island in the middle of the ocean, all by myself, on many occasions. Look, I'm not a Yates, I'm not a Case, I'm a Granger. I'm an island in this church. It was wonderful. The day that I realized how hungry I was. It was glorious. The day that I called on the name of my Lord and Savior, not even knowing I was calling on Jesus Christ, but praying to my Heavenly Father. Hungry for something different, for something satisfying in my life. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. I'm going to be bold. I won't apologize. Glorious was the day that I opened my mouth and spoke, I want to know about Jesus Christ. Glorious was the day that I first felt the Holy Spirit. It came in the form of a handshake. When Gladys Nass took your hand and you were desiring to have a knowledge, the Spirit came on you. But look at where I wound up in a city of habitation, in a place where I can be fed, in a place where each one of us can be satisfied, comforted, and not be alone. And we do. We come from the east, we come from the west, we come from the north and the south, and that's not just Missouri. That's all over the world. Look at where we reach out to bring about this coming home, this opportunity for others who are hungry and are hungry for something different. But why is this? And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. How amazing is that? But how often I forget to praise my God. I say thank you, Lord, in my prayers at night, but do I really praise my God for what he's done for me? For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He brought each one of us into this house under his wing, whatever analogy you want to use. He took desolate souls. He brings desolate souls in and feeds them. He brings in souls that have no desire, but yet his mercy is, it endures, it's wonderful, and it's there for everyone. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and in iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, not L-O-B-O-R, but labors, heaviness, sorrow. They fell down, and there was none to help. How many of you have felt hopeless in your life? I can raise both hands and a foot. How many of you know where I came from? On the Kansas side, right? That's pretty hopeless. No. There was a time in my life that things were pretty hopeless. I was bound in shackles, both physically and metaphorically, bound by afflictions. Mostly physically. Mostly by my choice. Hungering to escape the world. Hungering not to be a part of what we call responsibility. But winding up being bound, being tied down, losing control, and living in the shadow of death every day. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. How many of you have been in desperate times and found a way to bring yourself out of those desperate times, or found someone to help you? How many of you have found yourself in desperate times and called upon the Lord? If you had the knowledge of the Lord, and he helped you out of that. He wanted you to glorify his name. He wanted you to praise him, but did you? There was a time when, yeah, I was bound and afflicted, and there was an opportunity that I could get out of that. And I did. And I cleared myself from that whole situation. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Yeah, looking back at life, yeah, I believe that the Lord had something to do with that, because looking back at my life, I can tell you that I have been blessed immensely many, many, many times. Long before I knew of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here we go. Fools, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Okay, so authority, wisdom, the law, the right thing to do. The fool abhors that. He hates that meat. He despises that. He wants to go the other way. And what is that? The opposite of what the Lord desires. And this goes on and goes on. And they draw near unto the gates of death. He's already broken the bands. He's already cut the irons. He's given you an opportunity to be free. All you have to do is praise the Lord. All you have to do is see fit to lift your voice up and follow after the God who has freed you. But I say no, I did not. But then again, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, this is where I actually prayed in my life for the first time. I truly believe that all my life I knew there was a God, because just being an outdoor person, there was no way I could ever grip the thought that the beauty you could wake up to at a lake, in a forest, in the mountains, could be created all from one single cell. But here we are back to that one time. That one time. It says here, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I was bound again. I was shackled again. And he sent his word. I heard the word, the name of my Heavenly Father. I heard someone speak about praising their Savior. The word, the seed, it was planted. I went and I prayed for the first time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He sends his word out each and every day. There's no Sibles here. Oh, there's Harvey. Your sons deliver mail. We are to deliver the word of God. We are his mailmen. We are his delivery system. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. What kind of sacrifices are we making? Sacrifices of thanksgiving for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we approaching our daily lives in a way that shows a sacrifice? You know, I can say when I first came into this church, I was worried what people would think of me if I wanted to talk about what I knew at that time about my Savior. I would say a sacrifice I made was going out on the limb one time and talking about my Lord and Savior. Right? That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come out of our shell. He wants us to do things. He wants us to show that we rely on him for our strength. That's the sacrifice that you make, is giving up your will. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaviness, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Our daily lives are filled with trouble. Are they not? I recently took a management position. I have so wanted a management position for so long. And then I got it. Whew. I wasn't sure I really wanted it. I was scared. I was troubled. But I have to say that I stepped up with boldness and felt that what I had to do was rely on my Heavenly Father, call on Him through my Savior, Jesus Christ, and He would lead me. Guess what? It's been hard, but a wonderful experience. We need to, when faced with those stormy seas, we are going to be, every one of us, every day, there's a possibility that we're going to face that great typhoon, that water funnel. Well, in the Midwest, that funnel. That thing in our lives that seems like there is absolutely no way out. But you guys are so smart. You guys have such a great faith. You guys are a great example to me and my daughter. And I know that there won't be a time that you're so deep in the well of that wave that you will melt. Your soul will melt, will it? I say that every one of us fall prey to our own human nature. That if we get put in that spot, our first reaction is what? Woe is me. What am I going to do? When our first reaction needs to be, Lord Almighty, praise you and thank you. Will you please, Lord, hold me up? They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are in their wits' end. Then, and only then, what's wrong with us? Why does it take being put so low before then we cry unto the Lord? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Not only does he bring you out of that terrible distress, he saves you, he's merciful unto you. Not only that, but he delivers you. Clear to the point where your journey should have taken you. Then are they glad because they oh that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Here you go. Because in this 32nd verse it says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Well, that word also implies to me that there's a time before the congregation and a time before the presence of the elders, that you should be glorifying your heavenly Father's name and praising Jesus Christ. Right? I'm bad. Are you bad? Every day, we need to be comfortable, confident, non-apologetic, and share the word of God. Praise our Heavenly Father for the blessings and mercies that he pours out upon the children of men. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city of habitation. Us, the hungry, those who desire to feed upon the word of God, those who desire to be within in that habitation with our Heavenly Father. He prepares us, he blesses us, he gives us the strength, he gives us the tools, he blesses us that we might build a city of habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Amazing, wonderful. The fruits of my labor have grown immensely since I became a member of this church in 2000. There's been rough patches in the middle. I was called in 2005. There's been rough patches. Actually, there was a really long rough patch. And it was nothing more than my own whatever it was. It was me. It was me. Not praising the Lord, stumbling along, thinking I could do it myself. But he blessed me anyway. 39. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. When we get haughty, high-minded, arrogant, he's blessed us. He's given us everything that we need. We're fruitful. We're growing. We become arrogant, prideful, wanting. He has to smack our hands again. He has to bring us low. I don't like that feeling of being brought low, although I need it. I need that scolding from my father once in a while, more often than you all do. It says, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Where is the wilderness for us? Where is there no way to be found? No direction in the world. Simply put, that is the wilderness that we see people, our loved ones, our family, our friends. They're wandering aimlessly about the world. And we know, we know, there is no way. What does the Book of Mormon say? Wide is the path. The masses were going, oh, look at the great and wonderful building, and the believers were hanging on to the rod of iron. They were calling to their loved ones. But no, oh yeah, let's go. That looks like a great place to be. Look at all the people that are there. And but that was the end, right? There was no more story after the wide path and the building and the people mocking the ones holding the rod of iron. And but the rod of iron had a path. It had a place to be. There was a way. There was a destination. 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high for affliction, from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, most people, when they turn 50, they go out and buy a red sports car, right? I couldn't afford one of those, so I just started reading the scriptures. I started self-examining myself. Started wanting the Spirit more and more. I started enjoying things a little differently. But I tell you, the Lord is glorious and wonderful. We had a beautiful sermon this morning, kind of a little fiery, by Steve McGee. And I won't read it. I just want to make sure I quote the right. Yes. Second book of Nephi, chapter 13. And when he got done, one of our young people was in tears and asked for baptism. How glorious is the Spirit when the Spirit works through a sermon? How glorious is it that the Spirit worked on one of our young people that I could see has been struggling for a long time with some personal things? That young person has now asked for baptism, has now asked for a study, and I really am so happy. I'm happy that our Lord and Savior has come back amongst us, because for a long time, I think the Holy Spirit was sitting on the sidelines because of the way we've acted as a church in whole, as a whole church. There are some glorious and wonderful people here that carry that Spirit. They walk about and that Spirit is like a static ball around them, and it's wonderful to be close to them. And glorious is my Heavenly Father, and I pray His forgiveness for not glorifying His name more and being more thankful. He is wonderful. He carries me each and every day, and I give thanks. And I thank you for watching me and putting up with me, because it is wonderful to come here and stand before you and, if nothing else, confess my sins. You make me feel wonderful, and I love you all. God bless you, and God bless your families and this church. Thank you.